Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Hidrovias' third quarter of 2021 results conference call. With us here today, we have Mr. Fabio Schettino, CEO, Mr. André Kubota, CFO and Investor Relations Director, and Ana Carolina Bastos, Head of Investor Relations. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Hidrovias' remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is also being broadcast live via webcast and may be accessed through the website link made available to investors and analysts. Participants may view the slides in any order they wish. Those following the presentation via the webcast may pose their questions on our website. They will be answered by the IR team after the conference is finished. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Hidrovias' management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to the macroeconomic conditions, industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio Schettino, who will start the presentation.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank you for attending our 2021 third quarter earnings conference call. I'm going to start the presentation by talking about the background scenario that provided the context for the quarter's result, which is no news to you, but which served to prove the resilience of our business. With the maintenance of robust levels of operating margins, even in the midst of adverse scenario in the two main corridors where we currently operate. Next, I will briefly comment on the scenario we are envisioning for 2022, and then André Kubota will briefly comment on the numbers for the quarter and for the year. Finally, we open room for question and answer. Going to slide four, I want to start by pointing out the fundamental pillars of our company, which allowed us to. Oh, just a second, please. Okay. Those pillars allowed us to deliver consistent and resilient results, even in a year which had a convergence of atypical external situations beyond our control. We're positioned in the value chain of sectors where Brazil is a global player. This means that we may even have years with some one-off issues like this one, but with no impact on the long-term scenario. The grain scenario in Brazil provides a very good example of this, as we had a year with challenges in the quality of soybean grains and the failure in the corn crop in the second half of the year. The projections for 2022 crop already show a very positive prospect. That is, Brazil will continue to be one of the largest grain exporters in the world, and as a result, will continue to need infrastructure projects and solutions that enable the shipment of these grains in a more efficient and competitive way. We at Hidrovias have been working to increasingly be the most efficient and modern logistics solution for our customers. One of the ways we found to provide this, as we have often mentioned, in order to offer this most efficient solution, was through the development of cutting-edge assets customized for the operations, which bring a great strategic edge to the business. This was very clear with our low-draft assets in the south, which allowed us to navigate at least 2 months longer than other players using Vale's full contract for this and also for next year. This demonstrates in a very clear way the high level of confidence in our operation. This trust and this close relationship with customers comes from a rare combination of growth through long-term contracts with top-tier customers. This year, more than ever, it was very clear how much of this close relationship and these contracts set us apart, ensuring a great deal of resilience during the most adverse moments. We ended the first 9 months of 2021 with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 53%. That is, we were able to increase more than 1 percentage point of EBITDA margin amidst a difficult scenario with the very strong comparison basis last year. It's very important to remember that the 2021 results are being compared with a year that had a record crop in the north and which had more favorable river levels in the south when compared to this year. And this result was only achieved because we have a team very focused on delivering the business plan, agile, attentive to the market needs, seeking solutions and innovations that can further optimize the company's operation. After this introduction, I will go to slide six to discuss a little bit about the South Corridor scenario. You have been following the public data showing the evolution of rainfall in the regions where we operate, and we have monthly presented a notice to the market showing the navigation situation in the most critical regions, close to the north, close to Corumbá, where we transport iron ore to Vale. We maintain this practice to be transparent with the market and to help them understand the evolution of the scenario. We show that the month of September was very restrictive, and we had very specific operations in September in line with what we had imagined when we announced the second quarter results in 2021. In October, we do not navigate this region, also in line with what we disclose, and the level of draft reached a really low level. You can see in this image on the slide, which shows that it reached a level very close to the historical lows. The good news is that the rainy season has started, as we predicted, as of the second fortnight of November, and we have seen a movement towards the recovery of the river level, also in line with historical data. Therefore, we started from a very low baseline, but projections comfort us that the river will continue to show improvements in the coming months. That happens even when we observe the records of historical records, as we can see on the graph. So events like this that we experienced in 2021 have already occurred in the past, but they do not represent a structural change in the behavior of the river's water regime. The scenario is difficult, and there will be periods of highs and lows, and obviously we are going through a cycle. It's about it reaching the end, and in 120 years, we observed this happening 13 times in the historical series. The scenario was difficult, challenging, but on slide seven, we can see that how our operations are differentiated and better than the other players in the region. We reached a nearly 85% of market share in the transport of ore from Corumbá, and in September, we were the only waterware player to move cargo in this region. The price of iron ore remains at an adequate level for exports, and for this reason, we are preparing to be able to transport even greater volumes next year, even if the river does not return to full conditions of historical normal levels. Our expectation is that the river's behavior in 2022 will be more similar to that of 2020, which presented better conditions than this year, but still below historical averages. In this case, the river, if it's similar to the performance of 2020, 2021, we will be able to perform at a volume which is much better than this year. This year had lots of restrictions. Our team has been working to create solutions and alternatives that help us to obtain better results regardless of the atypical scenarios. We understand that this level of river will not be recurring. The historical data do not lead us to believe that this is a new trend in the region, but even so, we want to be increasingly prepared to be able to have a better operation should these situations occur. So we are negotiating some measures. I would like to share them with you. they are innovative, important, and that will be better prepare us for a situation for the future whenever they happen. The first one is the using mooring with buoys, which would generate a gain of 2 feet for loading ore, which is currently one of our major restrictions. The idea is to place buoys close to the loading pier, and in this way, we would be able to have barges in a further position where the level of the draft is better. So these are simple solutions that where we gain 2 feet of draft that will make a difference. Another alternative that will make a difference is, and this can be favor our operations, is to use a floating ferry, which can be used as a buffer for the operation. So the ferry would be at a certain level of the river and upwards when the draft is lower and the restrictions are higher, we can navigate it with smaller assets. And from the ferry, we can load larger assets. And the restrictions for navigation that we have faced so far are more to the north, Asunción upwards and Asunción downwards, even in such adverse conditions as of this year, we have conditions on navigation, which is better. So this configuration will provide a smaller number of trips to the southern part, which will result in lower variable costs, for example. With this, we'll be able to be more prepared in the region as early as 2022. That is, if river levels still remain atypical and below average, we'll be able to operate even better. If river levels return to more normalized scenarios, which is something we expect to happen, we'll be able to capture even greater efficiency with the full potential of the operation. And I turn over to Kubota to comment on the results for the quarter, and I'll be back to talk about the North Corridor. Thank you, Fabio. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for participating in our results call. On slide 8, we can see the volumes handled in the Southern Corridor and the EBITDA generated by operation. And as Fabio mentioned, are below the real potential due to the restrictions. Volumes grew significantly both in the quarterly view and the consolidated 9-month view, mainly due to the higher volume of transported iron ore, which was 158% higher for the quarter and 187% higher in the first 9 months of the year. The operations adjusted EBITDA ended up typically lower now in the third quarter of the year, even with higher volumes due to a mismatch between the volume handled and the recognized revenue, since a part of the volume has not yet reached its final destination. So the volume was accounted for, but the revenue will be recognized when the cargo arrives at the end of the route. Additionally, there is the impact related to the higher operating costs during the time of great restrictions, which is the most significant. Operating under current conditions requires numbers, adaptations such as load splitting, making more trips, and as a result, we have higher variable costs. As Fabio mentioned, we will start from a very restrictive draft scenario this year, and for this reason, the year of 2022 will be a transition scenario. That is, we should not see a normalized river level, but it should return to the levels better than this year. This more positive scenario, together with the new initiatives mentioned above, give us more confidence that this operation will be able to start showing results that are more in line with the potential as of next year. On the next slide, Fabio will comment on North Corridor and its dynamics, and I'll be back to talk about the results of this corridor, which were very strong and deserve to be highlighted. Thank you, Kubota. The scenario we can see in the North Corridor for the year 2021 is practically materialized. We have already extensively commented with you last quarter about what happened to the second half corn crop and how it would impact the volumes in this corridor during the second half of the year. So we can see that this is all being configured, and this is no surprise. It was not a surprise to us. We hope this was not a surprise to the market. And I would like to reinforce that this failure in the off-season crop is felt by all export logistics players. And there has been no structural change regarding the level of competitiveness of the corridors. As we can see, Arconort maintained its leadership position in exports of grain originating in Mato Grosso and ended September with 53% of market share. Again, a very relevant position, very strong, and no lower than the situations when we do not have failure crops. Our share in Miritituba, which is Arco North's main shipping port, continues to grow, and we are responsible for 47% of all the volume of grain that passed through there in the third quarter. This data show that there was no structural change related to this corridor, and this should be maintained over the next year. I'm sure many of you would like to ask what we see for the next year, 2022. And for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and show some of it on slide 10. Can we move on to slide 10, where I show IMEA projections for corn and soybean production in Mato Grosso for next year. Soybean planting has practically been completed, taking place much earlier when compared to last year, and even with historical averages. This gives us comfort that apparently there will be an ideal window for planting corn, unlike what happened this year. Soybean production in Mato Grosso is expected to reach 37 million tons in 2022, a growth of nearly 4% when compared to this year, and once again, the area of influence of Hidrovias do Brasil will continue to grow above the state average, around 4.5%, 4.4% of growth in the region where Hidrovias do Brasil has its natural vocation and is more competitive. AgriConsult believes that the volume of soybeans allocated for exports in the 2022 should be almost 15% higher than that of this year, a scenario that could be very beneficial for the company. With respect to corn, the increments will be even greater. IMEA projects a production of nearly 40 million tons for 2022, a growth of 21.5% when compared to 2021. And our area of influence is expected to grow 24%. It's always the same dynamics. The mid-north growing more than the average in the production of Mato Grosso. And when we say that the future points to that region when Hidrovias has a natural vocation and is more competitive, it's because this is where the growth will continue in a more dynamic way. AgroConsult also points out that it will be a growth in the volume directed to exports, which should be almost 6% higher than that of this year. The comparison basis is depreciated because we had some restrictions, but we are talking about 60% of higher volumes than this year, going back to a more normalized dynamics. Well, in fact, higher than what we had seen before the failure of the off-season crop. It's a continuous growth, and sometimes you have those setbacks, failures of crops happen, but the trend continues to be of a growth of a very full bit. We are talking about a record crops, a positive scenario for us at the company, and we are working tirelessly so that we can operate with full capacity next year in this corridor. This is what we're seeking. The next question that I would like to answer is how we are going to operate this year, next year. And I would like to say that different from the other logistics players of grains, we started the year with more than 50% of our capacity earmarked under contracts with long-term ones. So only half, a little less than 50% of capacity is negotiated, and these discussions are starting now in the next year, in the next few days, for the negotiations of next year, which will take place in a scenario of a record crop and the infrastructure gap in Brazil. No pillars of ours have changed. We continue eliminating the gaps in infrastructure. As I said, the infrastructure gap is limited to demand. As we add this structure, we encourage demand and we increase this growth. As I mentioned in other conversations, other presentations with you, our business is a volume business. The more we can fill our capacity, the more optimized our operations will be, and as a consequence, the better our operating results. That will be our focus for 2022, and we will have that in focus so that our capacity will be achieved. Returning to more strategic themes, on Investor Day that we held in April, we show some of the scenarios and volume projections for 2030 and 2035, including some different views. Only some scenarios that we considered. The first one would have only Ferrogrão. The second one will have Ferrogrão and an extension of North Grid, and the third only with an extension of North Grid and no Ferrogrão, and another scenario with none of those items. All those scenarios make clear that our business plan is regardless of those projects. We are able to maintain our captive volume, which comes from the Mid-North region, regardless of any of those scenarios, because that's the region that grows the most. It's the region where we are the most competitive due to the proximity with our logistics system. Other than that, we have the most efficient system for long-distance transport for grains in the northern region of the country. The market share of Arco Norte is a proof of this, and we have all those evidences. The biggest question we heard before this presentation was related to how the extension would be affect our business plan. And we always say that the projections for growth in grain production in Mato Grosso are so strong that we will require several infrastructure projects to meet all this demand. Otherwise, you are going to have a restriction to the growth due to lack of infrastructure. So we always say, and we believe based on the solid studies, that there is space for all those logistics vectors. And the more solutions we have, the more there will be encouragement for planting. And this will happen according to the growth in the Mid-North, especially because this is where we have the area of availability for earth to replace livestock with agriculture. No project alone will be able to meet all the demand in the region because there will still be bottlenecks at other ends. We cannot forget that these are logistics systems which are integrated. There are bottlenecks to be equated both at the ends of the terminals, such as in Santos. So this is something that we have to analyze. We cannot only increase the capacity of transport, but we have to increase the access to ports and the cargo of the ports. So integrated multimodal systems that, because they're integrated, they need to respond fully. So another important element to mention here, now trying to anticipate some question, is related to Ferrogrão. We continue with a very positive view. We are doing studies to support the growth so that we can evaluate the project. And this is not a project for Hidrovias to lead, but as we did with BR-63, we want to be one of the inducer of the discussion to add our contribution, and because this is a transforming project that will help us as an upside. It's not a need for us. It's not something that will not affect our business plan should it not occur, but it's an important upside that we provide support, and according to what is possible, we are going to provide support for it to be viable, as we said, NBR-63. And we didn't take part even in the bid. And we are likely to look good care of it so that we are not going to have any reversal of scenario that we had in the past. Another point that I would like to point out is that we have received some inquiries more recently about the impact of FICO2 on our operation. That's because it appeared extensively in the media and would have two players interested in this project in this case. I speak even more calmly. It's a project that doesn't concern us much for a few reasons. It has little economic viability, figures don't add up, the projects don't pay for itself. This movement has that has word you seems to be like a reinforcement to the positioning of these players. And this does not clear guarantees to demonstrate interest. Another point is that it's a strategy that depends entirely of the bid, and it would be a longer route when we think of the volumes. And in addition to that, it's an area with productive density. which, and this would make it even more difficult, the expropriation, and it has several indigenous reserves in the surroundings. What I want to make clear in this case is that there was no structural change in the business plan in the Northern Corridor. On the contrary, projections are still very strong, and Arconorte is increasingly consolidated and competitive. I'm sorry for my cough, he says. We have great knowledge of this region. Our operations is the most modern and the only integrated and independent operation in the Northern Corridor. And this gives us a lot of peace of mind in achieving our business plan. We have no doubts about the potential volume we can capture there. What we can discuss now is how we are going to expand our operation. That is, if we're going to expand more gradually, following up with the increasing volume, and it seems that the way we are going to adapt, or if we are going to take a bigger shot and increase capacity more rapidly in a more intensive manner. So we have room to increase the capacity in a more simplified way and with less need for CapEx in the short term. And in this way, we can postpone a little the investments that would already take place next year. So there are countless options that we have in this corridor, and I turn the call to Kubota. So I apologize for my cough. Okay, thank you, Fabio. Moving on to slide 11, we see the result of the Northern Corridor in the third quarter and in the first 9 months of the year. We had the highest result ever obtained in the third quarter in this corridor, even in the midst of the scenario of corn crop failure, which shows the strength of the contracts, and we have the resilience of our business. Volume dropped 39.9% in the third quarter 2021, but EBITDA grew 48%. In other words, the real tariff increase we had in the year and the take-or-pay more than made up for this drop. Adjusted EBITDA margin was 64.1%, the highest adjusted EBITDA margin that this corridor has ever presented in the third quarter, driven by the take-or-pay model, and the volume was 19% lower than that of last year, and reflecting the same effect that I mentioned, but partially offset by better fertilizer volumes. As a result, adjusted EBITDA was 20.9% higher than the same period of last year, totaling 306.6 million and a margin of 66.5%. That was an expansion of almost 6 percentage points in the first 9 months of the year, a difficult year like this in the adjusted EBITDA margin, a result that deserves to be highlighted and celebrated. On the next slide, number 12, we show the results of coastal navigation, where we transport bauxite. The corridor has been very consistent with no big surprises or news. We have communicated since the beginning of the year that the main customer in this corridor had a situation at the unloading pier, which ended up contributing to significantly lower volumes available this year when compared to last year. This was an one-off scenario. The problem has already been solved, and productivity is gradually moving towards a more normalized scenario. So next year, we should have more regular volumes. The volume was therefore 21% lower than that of the third quarter, but as the contract is in the format of take-or-pay, adjusted EBITDA was only 14% lower in the quarterly comparison, totally 33.2 million, and with a robust margin of 57.1%. Adjusted EBITDA for the first 9 months of the year was 96.2 million, very close to the EBITDA for the 9 months of the previous year, also showing the resilience of the business even in face of the momentary pressure on volumes. And they dropped to 37%, a little more than in the previous year because the problem in the first quarter 2021 had the unloading pier problem that had not been resolved. EBITDA margin was For the accumulated period, it was also strong, standing at 57.1%. On the next slide, I show the result of Santos, which did not have operations during the third quarter of the year, in line with the business plan and undergoing renovations and modernizations that will bring greater efficiency to the operations in 2022. And year to date, we handled 332,000 tons of fertilizer, generating an EBITDA of $7.4 million, remembering that it was still a pre-operational year, and there's still great potential for 2022 onwards, as the Port of Santos is the main port for entry of the fertilizers in the southeast region, and the Terminal Santos is the only available at the port. Still talking about the salt, it's important to segregate some points. Although we call the segment Santos and Sal, the two products are not bound under contract. There are several companies that unload this product, and we have a range of possibilities in this sense. The demand is currently greater than our capacity. Regarding south project that we have in Rio Grande do Norte, as we have already commented on and is also featured in several articles in the media, we are dealing with the regulatory issues related to the start of operations of this project. You followed in the media, and this became very noticeable since we suffered a regulatory setback with the objective of enabling the auction of a public terminal in the region. We even analyzed the public notice for the auction and realized that it was a weak project with no economic feasibility, with a negative NPV, and for the reason we chose not to participate and proceed with a lawsuit to make the operation viable. In this context, we are waiting for the legal procedures, and at this time, we do not consider the project to be finished. And for that reason, we have not revised the guidance to exclude the result that would be generated by it in the long term. Hidrovias had all favorable technical opinions for this operation, and the logistics solution we developed is much more efficient and modern than the existing solution today, which would make the salt logistics much more competitive in that region. We will keep you informed. You informed about the regulatory procedures whenever we have news and if any changes happen to this project. Anyway, I think it's also important to mention that for all the company's project, we always have a plan B and other optionalities that can be added. In this specific case, the investment was made in the floating asset, which would function as a floating port, which can easily be transferred to operate in another region. We could, for example, use this asset to advance the expansion in the northern corridor. This means that this investment would not be lost and that if the salt project is not carried out, we would have a reduction in the CapEx needed for the expansion in the north, for example. With that, I turn the floor over to Fabio, who will make the final remarks and open the Q&A session. Thank you, Kubota. I'll try to be brief in the final comments to leave space for our interaction. On slide 15, I reinforce that in addition to the very solid fundamentals, we have numerous growth paths for this company. We have already started next year with a very significant contracted volume basis. As I said, that this is a characteristic of our business in our corridors where we operate, and this gives us peace of mind. With a more positive crop scenario and better river conditions, we can have very good results, very strong, in other words, in 2022, and this is what we are getting prepared to. The engineering innovation team continues to work tirelessly to improve operations, creating more competitive, more modern, and lower-cost solutions, in addition to increasingly seeking sustainable solutions that contribute to better management to avoid impacts on climate change, which should be a material theme for all companies in our sector. It's a material theme for any company at large that operates in the logistics sector. You may have seen in our release that we made in our first inventory gas emission studies, and we were very happy with the results we got. We have a vocation to be the cleanest modal, and even so, we found ways that show that we can be even better, even cleaner, and more efficient. There is no model which is environmentally or socially more responsible for the transportation of large volumes at large distances than hydro models. We see countless new growth paths for the company with the development of new projects, new contracts, and even possible new acquisitions that may have synergies with our business, bring greater diversification and greater integration of our operations. We continue doing this even in a year with all the restrictions that we have faced that are out of control, such as failure of crops, river conditions. We had a very important acquisitions in the South Corridor. It was the acquisition of Imperial that helped us go through the crisis in a better way than if we hadn't this availability. We said that those assets provided us at least 2 months of additional navigation when compared to the fleet that we had without the availability of those assets. So we don't want just to be logistics players that carries loads from one end to the other. The company's vocation is to be the most efficient, modern, and most competitive integrated logistics players in Brazil and South America, anchored on a very robust customer base and operating in a very resilient market. Along the 10 years of existence of the company, we have seen that the resilience is out there, considering all the problems that we faced. On slide 16, I conclude the presentation with the message that we had a difficult year with adverse scenarios in the main corridors where we operate, with very unstable macro scenarios, pandemic. There is a rare combination of factors that we cannot control, but that serve to show that we have a very solid, a very robust, and very resilient business. I always repeat that the fundamentals are proven in crisis. We deliver consistent results very close to what we delivered last year, which was a very normal year with a very strong comparison basis. Remember that last year we had a record crop and a year of more satisfactory navigation conditions than south. This is the comparison basis for this year. So we have the prospect of having results very close to last year's, when we had the perfect storm. This clearly shows our resilience, our robustness, our business model. And we go through this year and start next year with much better prospects. So our long-term fundamentals are untouched. Our thesis is very solid, and this company is increasingly prepared to consolidate itself as the largest integrated waterway logistics players in South America. And I would like to thank you all for your attention so far, for participating in this call. And now we are at your disposal to solve any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you.
From the list, press star two. Our next question comes from Regis Cardoso, Credit Suisse.
Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have some topics I would like to discuss. I'm going to try to be very brief in the question. I have two very quick questions. One is related to the volume that was not recorded in the third quarter, but it's going to be registered in the third quarter. What would be the value? What would be the extraordinary result? Another topic was also about the negotiations of take-or-pay model in two sides. One is the current operation of the year, and if there's an interest of longer-term contracts to extend the capacity, the contracted capacity that you have. Another topic that I would like to touch upon is related to Porto Velho project. I don't know if you already have an estimate of the timing or CapEx or for the future. And there was another topic related to the guidance, but let me stop here and let you answer those questions.
Hello, Regis. Thank you very much for the questions. I'm going to start with your first question, and then I'll turn to Fabio for him to answer the other two questions. In relation to the topic of the volume, basically, only to make it clear,
we have the loading of the volumes, and this is something that is already accounted for. We already consider in the captured volumes, and considering accounting criteria of delivery in the destination port, the recognition of the revenue is not done at that time. In terms of volume, the volumes were of ore and grains for September that started the trips along September, but they have not been completed yet. In terms of numbers, it's close to the volume of 10% of the total volume of the half of the year. So in relation to the port of value contracts, I'll have Fabio answering. Okay, Hedges, in relation to the contracts, we start from a basis of 50% already contracted volumes, and next year we are negotiating the volumes, the additional volumes, and as we see it, and our intention is to have the full capacity next year, and this is what we would imagine that would happen this year, but because of the failure in the crop, and this happened to not only us, but to other players as well. This did not happen. So we are considering this for next year so that we are intending to have the full volume contracted for next year. In terms of take or pay model, I can ensure that since we are getting close to the full capacity and if we are likely to reach it, we are discussing some agreements of a longer term with the take or pay models as we had anticipated. We are likely to have some news still in this quarter, fourth quarter, and some in commercial initiatives that will provide us conditions to extend the contract in addition to the ones that we already have, which is the COFCO and Sodro. We are in advanced level of negotiation, and Hidrovias continues to be the integrated logistics provider, providing fractioned loads. And when the clients start to ask, how can I ensure the capacity in your system? The answer is giving me a long-term contract. And this is our discussion. And again, we are likely to have some news for us to share with you in very shortly. In relation to Porto Velho, we have the project to diversify the corridor. This is an area of influence that is held by players who are integrated but do not offer the capacity to those who work in the Miritituba or with those have restricted volumes of operation and will be able to provide this demand. In Porto Velho, we want to start as soon as possible. And when we say that we want to start as soon as possible, we want to start with navigation first and then obviously loading and unloading with third-party suppliers. We have the permitting process already underway for our terminal. We have the possibility, as Kubota mentioned, and regardless on the how SAO project develops, we want to use Potiguar, which is a transshipping, also in the route of Porto Velho. So for Porto Velho, we want to operate with navigation in a incipient way and start in 2023 with unloading and loading operations. So this project is still underway.
Okay, Fabio, Kubota, if you allow me, I have another question here.
Yes, of course. If I calculated why, well, 90 million according to the guidance to get to the target. Considering all those difficulties, and because we have this period which was very affected by the failure of the corn crop, and that whose results we felt in October. So, what's the level of probability that you would attribute to this guidance? Do you think it's easy to reach this guidance that you provided?
Regis, this is Kubota speaking.
In relation to the guidance, we are maintaining the guidance in relation to the points that you commented. In relation to the corn crop, I don't think there is anything happening which is very different from what we had expected. And as we said, we have a lot of protection there, and the volumes that we had considered, they are being covered by the contract, the long-term contract of take or pay. In relation to the South, obviously, for the guidance, we, again, as we said, we would confirm, however, in December for December. So according to the projections that we made, we've continued with the guidance as normal. Okay, Kubota, thank you very much. We are going to go after the number, and we understand that we have the means to reach the numbers. Very clear, Fabio. Thank you. Our next question comes from Felipe Nielsen with Citibank. Hello. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for taking my question. I have two questions. One is in relation to the acquisitions. You mentioned that Imperial Logistics acquisition was crucial. And we see that the barges make a difference in the operation, in fact. And I would like to understand if this is part of the pillars that you mentioned. Do you have any idea or a pipeline already defined for new acquisitions? Have you been discussing about new acquisitions in other projects? I would like to know about this line. And I have another question in relation to the share buyback. We have seen a number of lows in the value of the asset. And have you been considering any share buyback in considering the level of the current share prices? So I would like to know what your thoughts are about this. Okay, Felipe, thank you. This is Fabio. Let me answer the first question, and then Kubota will answer the second question. Acquisition M&A has always been a vector for growth for us, and it will continue to be like this. So we have a robust pipeline. Yes, we do. And we have lots of alternatives under analysis. In 2017, we purchased the Login assets, and recently we purchased the assets of Imperial. We continue analyzing with a focus, a larger focus on South Corridor, which has more possibility of consolidation. Without a doubt, we are continuing analyzing all the alternatives, but in a very careful, cautiously way from the viewpoint of the location of capital and our structure of capital. We have to observe the level of leverage of the company. We had a spike, which was a result of the non-cash FX variation. Our debt is controlled in terms of cash. As we generate in dollars, the amount to serve that debt up to the maturity date. And our balance becomes a little bit more volatile because of this, but there's no cash exposure. Having said that, we are going to continue analyzing options of acquisition and maintaining a balanced and healthy capital structure. Again, more focused in the South Corridor, but not limited to the South Corridor. So in relation to the M&A vision, this is it. It continues in our pipeline with a focused area, searching solutions and alternatives that can be advantages to the company. And Felipe, in relation to the buyback of shares, we currently analyze in our capital allocation this. We are very cautious and we are aware of how we do the allocation at the levels that we see today. We believe that this can be very attractive. And in our project pipeline, both considering new businesses or acquisitions, this is always an option. Today, we do not have anything approved, but it's a discussion that we always go back to, and we understand this can be an opportunity considering our portfolio. Okay, perfect. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Felipe. Our next question comes from the webcast from Carlos Vieira with Condor Insider. There are some questions here. With the drop of iron ore, were there any changes in the sector? Do you have any expectations in relation of the water, other crises for the years to come, 2022 and 2023? Okay, Carlos, let me answer first in relation to the drop in the iron ore. This is a relative drop because the level is still very attractive considering the historical levels. In other words, there's no impact on our contract. But even so, at this level of price, we understand that this is an interesting price for the mining companies, and the ore had much more depreciated costs than what we see today. It was at a historical high, it dropped, but it's still at a level that we believe to be very competitive for the mining companies. So the short answer is no, even because our contract do not take consideration the prices of the commodities. This is a risk that is taken by our client. But even considering the current levels, our restriction or limitation for the shipment of ore was related to the restrictions of the draft of the rivers, and it was not in view of competitiveness of market of price of the ore. So if we were in a normal hydrology, we would have the full capacity with Vale, so much so that Vale requested the full capacity of the convoys, because at that price, it would be interesting for Vale to use the full capacity. Our perspective for next year, Carlos, is a perspective of a recovery of the rivers, of the levels of the river. When we see this, you have a year when there is a drop, and there is a year which is at a lower level, which is this year, and then you have a year of recovery. So it's like the U-shaped behavior, and this is what we expect for next year. Our prospect, based on the consulting that we had for next year for Paraguay-Paraná River and for the water regime, is very close to what we saw in 2020, as we commented in the presentation. I believe that in 2021, 2022, we'll start the recovery process and the improvement process. But in general, we will generate a navigation capacity close to 2020, then 2021, which will be better because this year was very restrictive. On the other hand, it does not take to a conclusion there is a structural change in this regime. The river is seasonal. There are periods when it reaches lows, as we showed in the graph that is available to you. You can see that the records of historical lows, and even in scenarios that were below of what we saw this year and a long time ago. So this is a normal characteristic of the river. This is an seasonality aspect. And as we are not navigate 1 month, according to the agreement, because it's expected that there will be a low in November or December. This is something expected, and it's under contract. So we expect a recovery even below the historical levels, but better than this year. Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernand Hekia with BTG Pactual.
Hello, Fabio, Kubota, Ana. Thank you very much for taking my question. I would like to ask about the commercial strategy that you're likely to adopt in the beginning of the next period. So it's like a follow-up on the first question Hedges made. So you want to run at full capacity. What would be the strategy in terms of tariff and volume? What's the trade-off? You would prioritize volume and lower the tariff. How do you see, what's the strategy for next year? And in terms of CapEx, you said that you would are thinking of postponing investments. What would be the minimum necessary for you for next year? What would be the CapEx level for the maintenance activities that would be feasible for you to operate? Thank you, Fernando. Let me answer the first question, and then Kubota will answer the following questions. The strategy
is focused on improving the capacity. We have a gain in productivity in the system to keep it full at all times, and this provides us flexibility. What's the strategy, which is your question? First, we start from a contracted volume. This is a very important point that sets us apart from the other logistics company. And second, who starts to use capacity first? And I cannot be more specific because in the middle of negotiations, and I cannot provide any disclosure. And the ones who are in first will be subject to tariffs, which are higher because they will have to be allocated in our system on a one-off basis. We have a pool system, and the more volume I can assure, more predictability I will have in the cadence of the use of the system, more productivity will I have in the system. So the strategy from long-term contracts, I will negotiate contract with higher volumes where we take this volume at first and leave in the future better conditions of tariff for those who want to work with us at the spot prices and access the system on an emergency basis. This is the strategy. But in order to fill the capacity, it's important to have a gain in productivity at a very large extent when we maintain this capacity as full as possible. And as to CapEx, Fernanda, yes, you're right. Because we have gained a lot of operational efficiency. So and some part of the CapEx have provided us additional time without adversely affecting the capacity of the system. In terms of the maintenance CapEx, when you look at the last 9 months, we see that we had a CapEx of maintenance of 59.3 million, and it has maintenance CapEx, which is very reduced, and the CapEx is the asset of navigation and the terminals, and the maintenance is very low. So our ways are can be navigated, so the maintenance is low, and we have no guidance, but in terms of maintenance CapEx, I think it's a very good proxy what we saw in the first 9 months of the year. And considering this maintenance CapEx, we have the docking of one of the ships of the cabotage, the coastal navigation that happens every 5 years. So this is a good starting point for you to have an idea of what the maintenance would be.
Okay, thank you very much for the answers.
Excuse me, we'd like to remind you that if you wish to ask a question, just press star one. We have another question from the webcast. Could the company discuss the impact of fuel inflation and the perspectives of passing this through in the prices?
This is André Kubota speaking in relation to cost inflation. Obviously, this is something that we always look at, and we have a business model in which the long-term contracts are in place, and this includes all the corridors in the South Corridor. We have 100% of the capacity and the coastal navigation. We also have 100% of the contracted capacity. And the North Corridor, we have 50% contracted for very long-term contract. And we pass through the inflation costs, not only in relation to the fuels, so that we have the pass-through in a direct way. So this includes fuel and labor and the remainder of the amounts in the long-term agreements. Basically, it's a margin hedge that we have to protect the long-term results.
Thank you. Another question from the webcast. In relation to the working capital burn year to date, could you explain this variation better, especially in the lines of receivables and advances to suppliers? Do you expect that this working capital to be reversed Do you say you continue believing in the viability of the South project, so did not exclude in the long-term projections. Could you tell us how South project represents the guidance of 1.35 to 1.5 in 2025?
André Cobot again. In relation to the first question, in a year where that is so atypical in terms of working capital, part of the working capital has been negative in the receivables because we have the charges of the take-or-pay model. In some contracts, the charge is made every semester, and obviously we receive the amount after the quarter has been closed. So part of this variation is reverted when I receive the take-or-pay contract amount that is after the closing of the quarter. We close the quarter, we invoice the take-or-pay model contract, and then we receive in the following months. So this is reverted as to advances of suppliers. The account is a bit lower, but it's more related to some investments that we have been making, especially in the investments in the projects that we are implementing. In relation to the second questions of CapEx guidance, we do not provide the breakdown of CapEx per project or per corridor. So those figures, obviously, we are not going to disclose. Thank you. If there are no further questions, I would like to turn the call back to Mr. Fabio Schettino for his final remarks.
Thank you. I would like to point out that we are about to end the year. It has been a very difficult year, not only for Hidrovias, but also to other logistics operators in view of external factors that are out of our control. But I usually say that I cannot ask for rain to fall or for crops not to fail. So we can go after the market share, and we saw this deterioration both in the south and in the north, and next year is a year when we start all over from scratch. There's no statistics of failure of crop from one year to the other, so the prospects are very good to the north, and we see a reversal also in the situation of the river. So the long-term fundamentals are untouched, the long-term guidance have been maintained, and we believe that this is a winning thesis and that it's providing the necessary support for the shipment and flow of grows, where Brazil is the global player, where Brazil has a global dominance, and our main fundamentals are these. This has always been our thesis as of the beginning. So this is something that happened to us, but it will not move us off track, but on the contrary. The strategic pillars, as we said, is to use great service, top clients that provided us the conditions to go through the year in a very satisfactory manner amid those external impacts. I would like to point out the confidence of the management so that next year we are going to go back to a more normalized situation without forgetting the two vectors of new businesses. We are still very active in this, and also M&A, because there are opportunities out there that are going to be used and captured. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Hidrovias conference call has come to an end. We'd like to thank you for attending this call and have a nice day, everyone.